Isaiah 61, we're going to start reading in verse 1. And this is the portion of Scripture that we find Jesus reading in Luke chapter 4 when he comes back out of the wilderness. And he finds the place where it's written. This is the text that he's reading. In verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good," say good, "good tidings to the poor." Not bad news. Not God's going to clobber you. It's good news. Say good news. Man, I could camp right there for a while. You know we could, because there's a lot of people today in churches hearing some bad news. Well, I'll get off that. It's for good news. The purpose of the anointing is for good news, to bring good news to the poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." That, here's why, you could say, so that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. Glory to God. This is part two in our series, The Planting of the Lord. The way I really want to say the title is the planting of the Lord. It's not us planting ourselves. God is planting us. And we'll see that clearly through the Scriptures. When we become trees of righteousness, that's because God planted us. And guess what? We're going to bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, he gets glory. It says that he may be glorified. The word planting in the Hebrew, it's something planted. That is the place, such as a garden or vineyard, or the thing being planted. If you trace back the root of that, it means to strike in or to fasten. So what do? When you're going to plant something in your garden, what do? You take out a shovel and you strike the ground. You break the ground so that you can plant what it is you're trying to plant. But it's also both the garden and the tree itself. And an example of that is Genesis 2, verse 8. It says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed." So what did he do? He plants a garden, and then he plants the man in the garden. Now I want you to see, it's actually both. The Lord planted this church, and then he brought in trees, and planting them in the garden of Brookside Church. Amen. And we got some great trees here. Now, I want you to go over to Jeremiah 17. And while you're turning there, we looked at a couple of keys. The first key was be where God has placed you. Be where God has placed you. Sometimes people, when they're looking for churches, you know, they'll get online and maybe look at what kind of children's program they have or what kind of music, what style, all these things. Not that any of those things are bad. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But the approach of a lot of people is very secular. And it's like they're shopping for a car or something. They're seeing what the options are. But it's important that we be where God has placed us. And there is a perfect place for you. I didn't say that there's a perfect church. You're not going to find a perfect church on this side of glory. Now, when we get to the big church in heaven, that one's perfect. See? But down here, you're not going to have a perfect church. And if you could find the perfect church, there obviously wouldn't be any people in it. And you wouldn't be allowed to go because you'd wreck it. Right? We are the church. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, you know, we're not talking about a facility or a building. We're talking about a body. In the spirit, we're perfect. But there is a perfect church for you. And that's where God wants to put you. In fact, he said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." Who did that? Who set the members there? And I love the fact that it adds each one of them. Do you realize that's a little bit redundant? Could have just said he set the members in the church as he pleased, right? But he didn't say that. He said he set the members in the church, each one of them, every single one of them, without exception. He has a specific garden for you to be planted in. Amen. Now, out by my house, going up Highway 19, I believe it is, north of Groveland, there's a Cherry Lake Tree Farms. It's pretty impressive. It just seems like it takes 5 minutes to drive past that place, and it's 55 miles an hour, and it's acres and acres and acres of trees through those Claremont rolling hills. I mean, it's just beautiful. And so as we go by there, I'm just impressed. What I like is the even rows. I mean, that does something for me. You know, crooked pictures, that bothers me. Even rows, I just get happy. It's like, that's how you do it right there, you know. That has nothing to do with this at all, but just something that makes me happy, you know. It's like having exact change at the drive-thru. Just makes me happy. One day as I was going by there, the Lord began to speak to me. I noticed that the trees, every one of them, are in some kind of container, some kind of pot, let's call it. And the bigger trees, they have some huge pots, like a shipping crate just for the root ball of these trees. And then I realized every single tree is in that condition. Why? Because that's not where they're going to stay. And as long as they're in the container, they have to be supported. They can't even support their own weight. If a good gust of wind or a Hurricane Matthew came through, guess what? Woo, over they'd go. So what do they get staked. And they are completely dependent on Cherry Lake Tree Farm's personnel to feed them, to bring them water and nutrients. Why? They're not pulling from the ground. They're in a pot. And it takes an outside source to bring the nutrients to that tree. The reason that we're pointing this out is they're not where they're going to stay. Now, if you went and bought, say, a couple of those trees, it would be silly to just put them in your yard. You would need to strike the ground and get them in the ground. Otherwise, you've got to do what Cherry Lake Tree Farm does. And that's a lot of work. And God desires that we be planted in a specific place. He sets the members. This is so rich. This is so deep. And it has everything to do with your supply. There's an emphasis. There's a supply of the Spirit that God wants you to get. And we'll get into that as we go. When you're planted by God, then you are fed by God. I should have had an overhead for that. When you are planted by God, then you are fed by God. You're there in Jeremiah 17. Look at verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The New Living Translation for verse 8 says, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep, say deep, deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And if you never stop producing fruit, you never stop glorifying God. Wow. How many of you want to get to that place? I don't like dry times where there seems like there's a lull in things. I don't like that. Anybody ever have that? A couple honest people. Well, we all have. But there is a method, there's a way, and it has everything to do with being planted by the river, or in this case, by the brook. Brookside, you get it? Okay. Roots need to be deep. Now that's actually out on Lake Mineola. And I was telling people, I need a tree blown over. In Ocala, they get those massive, big old oak trees, which my parents are here, by the way. Came all the way from Ocala. Church of Lives worth the drive, so praise God. Awesome. I can honestly say, if it wasn't for my mom and dad, I wouldn't be here today. So I can honestly say that. It's true. It's true. But I needed a tree that was blown over. In Ocala, you see them, these massive oak trees. And then when they blow over, you realize there wasn't much to their root system. And see, that's the case here. It's got roots, but that almost looks flat on the bottom. So you've got to have roots, the way it's worded in the New Living, that sink deep. That's what's going to cause you stability and be able to support your weight and really get the nutrients. The deeper and the more roots that you have, the more established your root system is, the more nutrients the tree gets. And again, liken it to being planted in the body where God puts you. Some people have gotten out of the pot. See, and I forgot to say that. The second key was say no to pot. But some people get out of the pot, but they may fail to sink their roots. Just enough to kind of blend in. But it's about a supply coming to you. I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Second key was say no to pot. Got to get out of that pot. That's what we learned when we first got this revelation. We saw that there were trees within our body that had yet to get out of the pot. And that's like buying landscaping and you just leave it standing in your yard. Okay, that looks pretty good. Yeah, we'll go with that. Well, that's not going to have any longevity. And it's going to be a lot more work for you. See? You got to get it in the ground. You're going over to Ephesians 3. Look at verse 14. This is really going to bless you. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Do you see it? Now think of what we're talking about, being trees of righteousness with deep roots by the river, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. That we may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is saying by being rooted and grounded in love, you get a full supply of God. That's why you're bearing fruit continually. Are you seeing this? Now, I had Julie look it up just on the way in to church. I said, look up the definition of the word grounded. Just in Webster's, it means firmly established, well-balanced, mentally and emotionally stable. That's what it means to be grounded. Firmly established. You want your roots firmly established. And what does that do? That creates stability. Then a breeze, when the enemy comes along to huff and puff and blow your house down, he can't knock you down. Why? Because you got deep roots. And you're getting a full supply from him. Isn't that awesome? Okay, now go over to Romans chapter 11. How do I get my roots deep in the ground? Get your roots deep in the ground. That sounds really good, Pastor. How do I do that? I'm here. I took the pot off. What do I do? Well, number one, be willing to have your roots go down. That's all it takes to stop the root growth is being unwilling. But to get the roots deep, number one, be willing. Number two, serve in some capacity somewhere, help in that soil. And then three, give. Giving. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when you're giving into that soil, that causes your roots to be established in that soil. Isn't that good? Romans 11, look at verse 17. And it says, and if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root. The root supports you. Isn't that powerful? This is talking about New Testament dispensation. He's talking about Israel. That's the olive tree. Okay, he's talking about Israel in that condition. But remember John 15. He's the vine, we're the branches, right? So what happens? Through faith in Christ, we're grafted in. And guess what? We enjoy all the nutrients from the root system, from the tree. Isn't that powerful? This is everywhere in the Word of God. When you start, we are compared to trees over and over and over. You'll see a couple more examples. The Amplified for verse 17 says, we're grafted in among them to share the richness of the root and sap of the olive tree. To share the richness, the wealth. That's Selah. Some of you zoning out for a second. Man, you just missed it. We're talking about a supply that comes to you through a root system because you're rooted and grounded in love. And because we're part of the body of Christ, it's part of God's design that you're going to get supply. And the more established, the bigger the root ball is, let's say, you know what I want? I want like a pine tree. We call it a tap root. Tap roots, man, they find water. They go down. Knocking them over, that doesn't happen. Lightning gets them, but knocking them over, you don't see pine trees. You don't see it, do you? Oak trees, yeah. Oh, yeah. But not pine trees. Why? Tap root. Tap root. That's what I want to be drilled so deep into God that there's not an option, a possibility of me getting pushed over. And the deeper the root, the more root surface that there is, the more nutrients you can glean from the soil where God's planted you. Now go over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse 19. Paul is writing, and we're just going to kind of grab a middle thought here. We're dropping in the middle of the whole thing, but I don't want to get into all of that necessarily. But I'm looking at some phraseology that I want you to see. And Paul says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Now that's a good attitude right there. When you're going through some challenges or whatever, you need to have that attitude. I know this is going to turn around for me. Why? Because people are praying, I'm praying, and there's a supply that comes from the Spirit in my life to help turn this thing around for me. And that's what I wanted you to see is that phrase, the supply of the Spirit. Say it with me, the supply of the Spirit. That word supply in the Greek is both a noun and a verb. And it means to fully furnish abundantly, to minister, to aid, to contribute. And then the Vine's Expository says it this way, "The continuous present tense speaks of the Holy Spirit in all His believers individually and collectively." Individually and collectively. Now, the reason that I mentioned that it's a noun and a verb is because God supplies us, that's the verb, with a supply. That's the noun. So He's doing both. He's supplying us with a supply. Does that make sense? It's the actual supply itself, and it's also the act of Him supplying it to us. Are you with me? Again, what we saw in the vines, that there's a supply that comes to us individually, and then there's a supply that comes to us collectively. What does collectively mean? That means shared by everyone in a group. And I want you to understand, there are people, it's very prevalent throughout the body of Christ. The attitude is, I don't need to go to church. I just need God. Or we'll just have home groups. That's how they did it in Acts, kind of that attitude. And you know what? You're missing out on a supply. People say, well, I love the Lord, I just don't like church. But God has ordained that part of the supply that you're going to get is only going to come to you through that soil that He's trying to plant you in. There are people that are trying to get it directly from the head, but He's ordained that you get that supply through other body parts. Amen. It's just the truth. It's the truth. And so there's a supply individually. Yes, I love Jesus. He gives me revelation. But then there's a supply because of who I'm connected with. It's deep. It's awesome. People wanting to have home groups. There's nothing wrong with home groups. But there are some that, there's a book, I think, floating around. It might be a couple of books that nab by now. I don't know. They're talking about first century church. And you know, you got to remember, the church was young. And there weren't sanctuaries that were built. There was the temple, one temple, you know. There were a few synagogues, but that was for the Jews. But for the church, the only option was meeting in the home. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, he says, when you come together as a church. Then later in verse 20, he says, when you come together in one place. So home groups are fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But he wants us to also come together collectively. Regularly, he wants that. Amen. So don't let anybody talk you out of that. Because they're trying to right now. The third key that we looked at is help grow the body. Help grow the body. I want you to go over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And while you're turning there, I'm going to quote to you Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. And it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ." So you come to church to get equipment. And I said this in part one. When you come to church, I'm passing out shovels. Why? So we can strike the ground and get more trees in the ground. See? And God is dealing with people to strike this ground, this soil, right here. Then you skip down to verse 16 and it says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." See, we're to cause growth. How does that happen? Every part doing its share. Every part doing its share will cause the body to grow. And it's edified, it grows in love. We're rooted and grounded in love. Okay, love is the primary ingredient. That's what binds us together. That's what causes unity instead of friction. Now, as it pertains to giftings, we did that series, Redemptive Gifts. Everybody in here is a combination of redemptive gifts. You find them in Romans 12, starting in verse 6 and ending about verse 8. And it talks about there's seven redemptive, what we call redemptive gifts. And you are some combination of those. I am a teacher, administrator. That's number two. And I think third is like exhorter. You know, but whenever something happens, I'm going to want to teach you. Julie will, we're just trying to have a conversation. She will say something, it triggers the teaching gift. I will start to give her 3 points. The teaching gift just kicks on. I can't help it. I can play guitar, but I'd rather teach you how to play guitar than play guitar for you. Are you with me? So that teaching gift just trumps everything. I think it was 5,440 combinations of those gifts without using any degree, just in priority. If you just took those seven gifts and changed the order, there's 5,440 different combinations that could be there. So chances are in this room, probably don't have the exact giftings twice. The reason I point that out is because you're to do your part as it pertains to your giftings. That's going to be unique based on your calling. You're gifted because of your calling. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable, right? It's the gifts and the calling. He's never going to take them away, okay? And the calling is there. But we do have a calling, which is our share, that causes growth of the body. All of us have a common part in growing the body. Do you want to know what it is? Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 1. And it says, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Do you realize that is fruit of being planted in the body and having a good root system? You who are spiritual, that's those that are firmly established, rooted, and grounded in love. What do? We restore somebody else without wagging our finger at them, without looking down our nose at them. You consider yourself. Without Christ, I'm nothing. You know, but for the grace of God, there go I, is the way we would say it. So what do? We help to restore somebody. That's what we all have in common as it pertains to growing the body. Because how many of you know, not everybody's going to act right? Is that revelation today? Really? What? And that's part of why people have disappointments in church. They have an unrealistic expectation of how people are going to behave. And then they come to the pastor and start, "What are you going to do about it? I can't tell people how to act. That's not my jurisdiction," you know. Now, how they behave in church, that's a little different. But we're to bear one another's burdens. And go ahead and pull that tree, that picture of those trees up. This is on Highway 50, and I shared this with you in part one. They're planting, those are crepe myrtles. They've got palm trees and crepe myrtles, and they're just beautifying that center of the Highway 50 there. And as I went by, it struck me. I went, "Julie, get a picture." I'm trying to drive and hand her my phone and, you know, double tasking. You shouldn't do that. But what I noticed, these are trees that have been planted. They're no longer in the pot. The soil has been struck, they're in the ground. But notice, as they're freshly planted, they're supported. Why? Because their root system hasn't taken yet. It hasn't been established yet. But in whatever the period of time is for a crepe myrtle, in that period of time and probably a little bit to pad it, they'll take away the supports. And it's that tree can now support itself and get the nutrients from the soil. And I thought, wow, that's what we're to do as a body. When new body parts come in, we've got first-time guests right here. As new body parts come in, what do? We surround them and support them. Amen. And think of a physical body. When there's a transplant, such as a kidney or whatever the organ would be, what's the number one concern of the medical community? That the body rejects that transplant. Call it graft versus host. And buddy, they watch that. They medicate for that. I mean, that's the one thing. They stay on that for a very, very long time. As a body, as Brookside Church, let's say, we are to be inviting. We're to be accepting. And that love helps edify the body. It grows. Because there's going to be some new trees coming in. And you know what? There's going to be some greenhorn trees coming in. Little sprigs. And they're going to need some shade from the established trees. Are you with me? And you help to support them. See, and if they mess up, don't go, God, do you believe that? Don't be like that. That is gross. Amen. Yes, sir, Bob.
I go by those trees every time I go out, and I watch them being planted and staked up, and every day that I go by there, there's a water truck and a feed truck. I mean, that's a message to us, really. We need to be watered and we need to be fed as much as we can get.
That's right. Boy, that's awesome. That's a good word. And see, that's our job, is to be the supply, to be the nutrients while somebody's roots are being established. Now, in closing, I want you to go over to Psalm 92. Have you enjoyed it this morning? I'm telling you, this is such a big deal. And the enemy has worked really hard in recent years to try to get people away from the soil. I'll just watch Andrew Womack on TV. I'll get fed. You watch this. He'll tell you. I've heard him say it. He says, you need to be planted in a local church because my number's unlisted. You can't call me in the middle of the night, and I'm not going to do your kid's wedding. Are you with me? And he's right. There's a family component to the body and to the church. You know, Josh talks about this a lot. He wants to be with the family of God. Yes, there's going to be the Word. There's going to be a time in the Spirit that's awesome. But it's about being with the family, isn't it? Being with people of like precious faith. Amen. And occasionally somebody's going to rub you wrong. And Greg Moore, one of the Charis Bible teachers, says that's your sandpaper person. God's trying to sharpen you in an area. You know, because a lot of times we'll pray, Lord, fix that or I'm going to. Anyway, well, am I the only one that prays that way? I try not to pray that way. But that's our flesh. That's how our flesh wants to pray. Get rid of that. If they just go away, I'd be all right. That's not how it works. Restore such a one. Bear with one another. See, there's a whole backstory that you're not privy to. But God knows it. Amen. Psalm 92, let's begin reading in verse 12. And it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Well, that's powerful. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know what this is saying? When you're firmly planted in the soil of a local body where God's planted you, it's going to be evident to the onlookers in the courts of God, those that would be passing by, that you are planted, that you're a tree of righteousness. That brings him glory. They shall still bear fruit in old age. That's good news for many of us. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Do you realize this is the witness? He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. This is the witness. right here. The witness is that your roots are deep and they're established beside the water. You're not worried about what goes on in the world system. A lot of people biting their nails over this election. And it's critical. It is important. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not being flippant about it at all. But you know what? If the wrong person gets in office the day after the election, God isn't falling off his throne. He's not pacing back and forth, oh my me, what am I going to do? He's not doing that. You know what? We still have a covenant. Amen. I said we still have a covenant. Amen. And if the whole system crashes, I'm going to be fully furnished. Why? I'm in covenant. I'm not going to stop bearing fruit. My leaves are going to remain green. It may get rough. We read the back of the book. It does get rough. There's going to be some rough times. We could have read Isaiah 60, the one right before we started with. And it talks about gross darkness covering the people. It's going to get darker before it gets brighter. And people act surprised. Christians act surprised. Have you read that? It's going to get bad. Gender neutral bathrooms. Good night. I mean, that's dark. Are you with me? That's dark. But guess what? Our light gets brighter. And it says, the nations shall come to the brightness of your light. All we got to do is stay planted. And God's going to make you shine. And people are going to wonder, how are you able to stand there in the face of this? There's a lot of Christians, they're expecting outrage. And I just stay calm. Why? I got a covenant. I'm planted by the river. I'm not dependent on what happens to the government. That's not my source. Shouldn't be anybody's source. God will provide. I said God will provide. He will provide. And he'll do it in a way that he gets glory. Not some establishment. Amen. Wow. I'm about to get all political, so I'll back up.